scripture reading is Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, 1, 2. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, giving himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma.
There is only one God, the true and the living God. And the way we understand it, the way God has revealed it to us, that God is revealed to us in three different ways, through the Father, through the Son, and through the Holy Spirit. But there is one God with three functions. The whole Godhead, as we know it, played a part in bringing salvation to mankind. We are made in the image of God, and with us being made in the image of God, we should strive to be imitators of God. Imitation is a form of flattery in life. I think as a child may imitate their parents and in what they say and what they do. Now, we know that could be good and that can be bad. That imitation, hopefully, that what we're doing is right and they imitate us in the right manner by the things that we say and do. And also, as I think growing up, you may have a childhood people that you imitate. Maybe it's a singer or maybe it is a favorite athlete. I know when I was younger, Bo Jackson was one of my favorite athletes because he played football and baseball, and I played both. And so I looked at him, and I wanted to imitate him as the way he played. In the way I played, I wanted to be like him in some way. So we may look at things we may imitate in our life and people we may imitate. But we want, most importantly, we want to be pleasing to God. Therefore, we should do to the best of our ability to be imitators of God. Be imitators of God the Father. Be imitators of God the Son. And imitators of God the Holy Spirit. And as we look, we're going to look at each of those functions and how we can imitate them. When we look at God the Father made a wondrous plan, and that was a masterful plan, and that plan is what God has done before the foundation of the world. If you're still in Ephesians, look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 6. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." When we look at this, we see God's wondrous plan. And that wondrous plan was before the foundation of the world. And it was predetermined by God that there is going to be a certain plan for mankind to follow. Though some will teach, and wrongfully so, that God planned certain people to be a foundation. Well, that is partially true and partially false. That certain people that God planned were ones who follow the plan. The people, he didn't choose specific individuals that he was going to predetermine to be saved, but he chose a plan. And those who follow that plan will be saved. that will be have that home in heaven with God for eternity. And that plan has to be followed by the standard which God has set forth. God gave us free will. We have a choice whether we are going to follow him or whether we're not going to follow him. In Acts chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, Peter is talking here, and he said, "This man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, then you nailed him to the cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power." We see that God had a predetermined plan, and that plan was through Jesus Christ to go to the cross at that particular place, in that particular time, and he was going to suffer, be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And that was by the foreknowledge of God, by the that predestined plan. God had that foreknowledge to put that plan together. And according to God's plan, one must be in Jesus Christ. God chose us to be in his plan before the foundation of the world. This plan includes each of us to be in him, in Christ. We are to be baptized into his death, having washed our sins away. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4 shows how we are imitating Christ when we follow that plan. And we'll get into more of imitating Christ. But when we look at this plan, it is to be in Christ, to be baptized with him in his death. We are to be raised up in the watery grave of baptism and walk in newness of life. And we're to walk holy and blameless before him in love. Ephesians 4 and verse 2, or 1 and verse 4. So the Father chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 9. It says, "And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus." When we look at this, we see at one time this plan that God had was not all completely revealed, but it was a mystery. And it was hidden by God because he's going to have to bring forth his son. And we look at the Old Testament, and through that we can see that plan coming together through the promises of God, beginning first with Abraham. And when we look at that, we can see, and we'll continue reading, "to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." We see that plan, that eternal purpose, that eternal plan that God accomplished through Jesus Christ gives us boldness. It gives us confidence and faith that we can look at this plan and see that plan come to fruition through God's word, and we see that plan that God has set forth. Now, as we look at that, we can see in verse 19 in chapter 3, it says, "To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." When we look at this, we can know that if we're following the plan of God, we are there, and we see that love of Christ, and we can know this, have that knowledge, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. We should see that plan that God has set forth and be imitators of God and seeking to be pleasing to him. Our goal should be in our life is to have a plan just as God had a plan. And that plan should be first and foremost is to follow God. And when we look, if we are following God's plan, then everything else takes second place. God first, then everything else. We look at God's word. We need to follow God's word. Obey the gospel. Be a servant of Jesus Christ the rest of our lives. And when we make this our main plan, for everything else will just fall into place. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We see the example of this. We see this in Jesus' teaching in verse 13. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it." You see, God's plan was for people to seek after him, to seek and to follow his plan. Now there's going to be results in that plan that God put forth. There's going to be some that choose not to do it, and there's going to be some that choose to do it. Jesus gave us some insight and said, there's many that are going to go through the wide gate and not follow after the plan of God. But there's few that are going to go through that narrow gate, and as they do, difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few that find it. So we, as we look at that, that plan is to follow God's plan. God and Jesus gave us insight of how to do that. And then we can look, staying in Matthew chapter 7, we can look and we can be known by the fruit that is in us. We each of us as Christians either bear good fruit or bad fruit. And our life is a representative of that. Or if we're imitating God and doing the things God asks of us, we should be bearing fruit. If we're not, we will not bear fruit. And we see that there are false teachers there that are from quote-unquote bad trees or bad and have bad fruit. But in verse 18, it says a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. And he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's how we know if we're following God's plan, by the fruits. And if we're following God's word and we're doing what God wants us to do, we're following that plan. And it'll lead us to heaven. And as we live our lives, it's not always easy to follow God because we have sin and temptations. And there's times of weaknesses that we may go through, or trials and temptations that are there that may try to draw us away from God's plan. But we need to make sure, first and foremost, that we build our house upon the rock. And that's what Matthew 7 and verse 24 says. There, whoever hears the saying of mine and does not... I'm sorry. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. You see, when we look at God's plan and we're following God's plan, we're building our house on the rock. And then everything else is just a stepping stone in our life, in our building of that life. If we're putting God first, the proper order of how we should, putting God first, being imitators of God in that way, then we have that plan for our life. And everything kind of just falls into place then. But sadly, there are people who try to build their house on the sand. And maybe that's by being in proper, in sinful relationships, unmarried living arrangements, homosexual relationships, or, you know, when we look at these things, we need to make sure that we're following God's plan, not just a worldly plan, or what, you know, I want to do this, I want to lead this course of life. We have to put God first in our life, first and foremost, and then everything else will fall into place. this example is given for us to understand the proper order for our lives. When we look at this, what happens to the foolish man who builds his house on the sand? Well, the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house and it fell, and great was its fall. In following the plan of God, we got to put God first and put Him first and foremost in our lives and build from there. If we don't, we're just building our house on the sand. And ultimately, we'll know that it'll fall. And we see examples that are living as God desires. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 26, at the very end of the chapter, Peter was saying to the Jews, he said, "To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." You see, he tells them in summary what Jesus has done for them. God sent Jesus to this nation, and he wanted to bless them, and he wanted them to turn away from their sin. It is through Jesus we can be blessed by us following and being imitators of Christ. Just as we are to be imitators of the Father, we are to be imitators of the Son, be imitators of Jesus. And when we look at Jesus, Jesus lived a sacrificial life. We too should live that sacrificial life. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8, Paul is writing to them, and he wants them to have a better life. And he's giving a teaching. He said, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not out only for his own interest, but also the interests of others." And he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And what he's saying is, be imitators of Christ. Then Paul goes on to say what Christ has done, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name of which is above every name. And that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those of heaven and those of earth and those who are under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As we look at this, Jesus lived that sacrificial life. Paul was telling them, you know, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. What he's telling them is be an imitator of him. Let Christ follow after Christ and let him change your mind. The way we should live is the way Christ lived. Christ lived sacrificially. And Christ left heaven and came down to this earth. He didn't have to, but he did. He was following God the Father's plan to come down to this earth by humbling self and being obedient to the point of death. He lived a sacrificial life. And if we are going to be imitators of Jesus, we must also live a sacrificial life. Peter knew this. He wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, he said, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." You see, we may look and say, "Well, I don't want to suffer." Well, I understand that. But at the same time, we need to follow in the steps of Jesus. And if we are following in the steps of Jesus, following his pattern that he has set forth, yes, we may suffer in this world, suffer persecution, suffer because we are standing up for the truth of God's word. When we live a sacrificial life, we are following the pattern which Jesus set forth for us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, it says, "But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed," this is Paul, "a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher to the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and in love, which are in Christ Jesus." We see that Paul taught Timothy about what Jesus has done for him and for each of us. He abolished death, and Paul became a minister, and he's suffering in these things, and he says, "But I'm not ashamed of that." He goes, "Because I know who I believe." And he's persuaded in his own mind. He knows, and therefore that's what's given him the strength to be an imitator of Christ and living that sacrificial life, because he knows Jesus Christ and he knows God's promises. And since he knows God's promises, he can be faithful the rest of his life. And he encourages Timothy to hold fast to those sound words, which he's heard from him by faith in Christ Jesus. And we look through scripture after scripture, we can see how we are to be imitators of Christ. And when we look at this, we see that God the Father has given us a plan to follow, and that is to be in Christ. And we should be imitators of God and follow after that plan. We should be imitators of Christ. He lived that sacrificial life. We should live a sacrificial life. We look at being an imitator of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We, therefore, should be the Spirit of truth to this lost and dying world. When we look and understand that the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles as a helper so that they would know the truth and remember those words that Jesus spoke, we have God's written word that we can look at and know, and then we can be persuaded just as Paul was persuaded. And we can be an imitator of the Holy Spirit by being that Spirit of truth to this world. That means we can go out and show them what the Bible says and show them it's not based on my opinions. It's what Scripture says. And that's why you need to be obedient to it. And we, as we know in the Sermon on the Mount, we are to be a light to this world. And a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. We are to bring this light to the world, bring that message, the Spirit of truth, just like the Holy Spirit was that Spirit of truth that they can follow after and know that these are teachings of Christ. We too can look at the examples in the written word and know for sure, and therefore go out and spread that word to others. You see, if we are not imitators of the Holy Spirit in this way, who is? Who is going to be? We look at God's word and we see the truth that is in it. The church needs to be that Spirit of truth. One, and each individual Christian makes up that Spirit of truth. We need to know God's word. And when we know God's word, we apply it to our lives and then we share it with others, because they need to hear the truth. We as Christians need to make sure that we are imitators of God the Father and have a plan, just like God had a plan. The Father had a plan that we should follow. And that plan requires us to be following God first and everything else second. We should also see Jesus and be imitators of Christ and live a sacrificial life just as Christ lived the sacrificial life. And we should be imitators of the Holy Spirit, being that Spirit of truth. Therefore, we are holders of that truth, and we need to take it out to the world. If you have not been an imitator of God, you will not be in the right relationship with God. We need to make sure that we are in that right relationship with God, and therefore we must be imitators of God. In order to do that, you must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to be in Christ. Being in Christ requires us to believe in Him. Believe in Jesus Christ. Confess that. Repent of our sins. That means not just be sorry, but change the way we are living. And be baptized. Have our sins washed away. Imitating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And live faithfully. You see, when we do that, when we are obedient to the gospel, we're obedient to the plan which God has set forth for all mankind. Have you been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or maybe you once were an imitator of God, but you've fallen by the wayside. Come back to God. And if we can help you this evening, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Our God.